Well, the four teams in action here for the conference championship games have all the incentive in the world because trips to the Super Bowl are on the line here this weekend. Packers, 49ers, Titans, and Chiefs. The betting market has been active. We do have sharp money out there on both of these games, both side and total. And fortunately, we're able to talk about that every week with Brent, the head risk manager down at DSI Sportsbook. So we talked about those two games here for this weekend. Also talked about the process, the starting process for the upcoming Super Bowl 54. And of course, we'll see after this weekend which teams will be involved in that game. But here is this week's version of the Odds Report with Brent from DSI Sportsbook. All right, I'm joined by Brent, the head risk manager down at DSI Sportsbook for this week's version of the Odds Report. Brent, how's it going today, man?
Going wonderfully well. Beautiful summertime down here. I know there's a little bit of snow in parts of the rest of the world, apparently, but it's awesome time of year in terms of weather-wise. It gets like, this is just kind of like the start of summer, which is it's just really, really nice. And I will confess, I was at the beach yesterday and it was like 33 Celsius. It was just a brilliant day, and all recharged to come in today and talk to you.
There you go. Sounds good. And only three football games left, only 3 weeks left to talk to me. I don't know what you're going to do without this segment on Thursdays. I hope you can find some way to replace it in your heart. But before we get to these conference championship games here in the NFL playoffs, let's sort of go over what I'll call a postmortem for Monday night, because I, like a lot of people, was on Clemson, and that line did end up dropping rather significantly on game day. How'd that game wind up playing out for you guys?
It wasn't bad. I mean, it's kind of... It's interesting from my point, because we're seeing the line dropping across the board, yet on in terms of the point spread, I still had LSU money. Like, we actually needed Clemson on the, you know, on the spread. But what is, you know, is typical, it'll be typical this weekend, I believe, as well. And it has been traditionally with the NFL playoffs, is usually you need the favorite on the money line. And that was the case as well. We needed LSU on the to win on the money line because people were grabbing Clemson with the plus money. And in our store, they were laying LSU on the spread. So I was, you know, just slowly moving down as the number went. I was kind of like staying as high as the highest number on the board as it ticked down and ticked down, just because I still had more point spread money on LSU, despite the fact that I had the money line money the other way on Clemson. And I mean, yeah, we needed the under, but that obviously you could tell that was going to get washed out right quick.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was a pretty interesting game to say the least. And, you know, obviously there was a lot of prop betting stuff out there as well. Plenty of things for people to consider in that market. And, you know, there will certainly be a lot of prop market stuff going out here for this game as well, coming up here with the Super Bowl, which people may have heard of, I guess I could say. So let's go ahead and talk about these conference championship games here. And again, as always, we go by rotation order on this show. So we'll start with the later game. Game 3-11, 3-12 is Green Bay and San Francisco. What's it look like over there at DSI for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, right now, the advantage kind of we all have, and that's, you know, our side of the counter as well as the other side of the counter with the customers, is in both these games, we're talking about teams who have played each other already. So you kind of have that to go from. You know, that's always kind of nice, like, okay, these guys played each other and what happened that game. And you kind of can, you know, it's not to say like it's a blueprint that, okay, let's dissect what happened when these teams played before and that's going to happen again, because, you know, it just doesn't happen that way. And especially when you're, you know, facing certain defenses for a second time, and even facing, you know, quarterbacks for a second time, you tend to get better and make adjustments. So I guess, I mean, that's the ideal. So teams, you know, the teams that lost should be improved in terms of looking at, okay, what do we do wrong and how do we improve on that? I do have sharp money on San Francisco, so that's kind of out of the bag right away. That money came in at -7. So San Francisco -7 was sharp. I'm at 7.5 right now. My wager count on the spread is almost dead even. I've got a count on the over of 4-1. So that's gone, number's gone quite heavy towards the over. That started coming in mostly at 45.5, and we're at 46.5 right now. So mostly, you know, 45.5 is where I got hit on that. Nothing really at 45. I know that's the number I opened at. I think the lowest number was 44.5. So we opened 45. We're at 46.5, and most of my action came at 45.5. So no real risk on the total there. But like I said, the sharp money on San Francisco, but my count so far has been pretty much even. At 7, my count's about 2-1 favoring San Francisco. Since we've gone to 7.5, I've actually got more money, almost 2-1 going back the other way on Green Bay. So that's how that evens out to almost a balanced count. You know, looking at handicapping this game, I think, like, if you look at you know, the numbers, you really, I mean, it's really tough to make a case for Green Bay. I think that kind of points to San Francisco. You know, the kind of narrative side of things is San Francisco. Yeah, they won that last game, and they did, you know, kind of dominant fashion. I think it was 37-8, that score. You know, information wise, there's nothing really influential in terms of injuries and stuff like that. So there's nothing, you know, really that jumps out other than the numbers and stuff like that. And obviously the numbers and stats, if you will, and the on-field analysis is what really going to drive this. I think at 7.5 is probably going to work for me. I don't see this number moving a whole lot the other way. I mean, it could tick back down if some sharps got involved in Green Bay. But like I said, my count at the 7 was 2-1 favoring San Francisco. My count at 7.5 is 2-1 favoring Green Bay. So it seems like, you know, that's kind of going to, you know, be the number that works for us.
Yeah, I mean, that all makes sense, especially what you're telling me here. You know, San Francisco, as we've talked about all week long here on this show, opened 6.5 against Minnesota. And this was a Green Bay team that beat Minnesota twice in the regular season, won the NFC North over Minnesota. And the opening line implies that Minnesota is a better team than Green Bay. So the move up from 7 to 7.5, not particularly surprising. I will say I thought the over move was a little bit surprising here. A lot of that money coming in on Thursday, in fact, the day that we're recording this segment, because it kind of almost goes against what we would expect with San Francisco, in the sense that you would think a higher scoring game with an Aaron Rodgers-led team would help Green Bay, and a lower scoring team with a Jimmy Garoppolo-led team would help San Francisco. But the line's gone up in both, which is kind of interesting to sort of read into, as we like to talk about all the time, the game flow.
Yeah, no, I agree with that, because I do think that, like, it, you know, we talked about, you know, last week about how San Francisco was probably going to put a lot of pressure on Cousins, just because their defensive front seven has speed. They're just such a fast team. They don't have to blitz very much to get pressure on the quarterback. They're so good that way. We talked about how healthy they are on defense now. And the thing too is Green Bay, the success they're probably going to have, you know, and the way you kind of beat San Francisco is having, you know, success running the ball. And I think Green Bay is set up to do that with Jones and Williams in there as well. So I think, you know, Green Bay, definitely you can make a case for them in terms of numbers and them being able to have success running the ball. And if that's the case, you kind of would lean towards the under as well. You know, this total, like I said, you know, it's gone up. Like I said, in-house was 45, and we're at 46.5. And again, you know, the last time these two teams played, it was 37-8. So you're talking about 45 points right now. It's like right there. And it's like, you know, how are we going to get more? Now, Rodgers didn't have a great game. I think he threw for like 100 some odd yards and stuff like that. And obviously he was under a whole lot of pressure. But I don't know. The total, I'm kind of, you know, I'm just not sure what's driving it up. And I'm going to, you know, like I said, I looked at my account and I've got a 4-1 wagered count towards the over. So my hunch is that it's just public money driving this. And guys, I talked about before, I mean, it's not only sharp money that drives the market. If you don't have any sharp money on this total, and the public elsewhere as well as here is betting 4-1 towards the over, you keep on moving that. You're still moving on your money, whether it's influential money or not. The spread, I can say, like, you know, I said, it's clearly sharp money on San Francisco -7. And getting to it, you know, getting money back on Green Bay now that we're 7.5.
Well, and just to clarify here, you mentioned you're 2-1 on Green Bay at +7.5. That would include teaser money on San Francisco to bring it down to 1.5, right?
Yeah, that's the thing too, is, you know, you're talking about these numbers where they are. It seems you opened up the teaser box there. That's really the, you know, the spot where, you know, as a book, you know, you've got to put up the right number, and the right number is the one that's going to attract the most action and also balance you as best as possible. Sitting at 7.5 on 7 on these two games, talking about 6.5-point teasers, it's like, there's going to be a lot of risk, obviously, for us in these games in terms of the teaser payouts.
All right, so let's go to that other game here. Game 313, 314, Tennessee and Kansas City. And I think this one, you know, again, I think the line move is very cut and dry in the NFC game. San Francisco is the sharper side at 7. Not surprised to see public money there at 7.5. And I think that move off of 7 was very telling. This game, I think the picture is a little bit cloudier here, as we're kind of split between 7.5 with dog juice and 7 out there in the market.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sitting at seven, and like I, you know, I talked about earlier how like with the national championship game and these two games as well, you know, we're going to have a lot of dog money on the money line, and this, you know, the Green Bay game is that way as well. My count on the Green Bay money line is about 4-1 favoring them, and my count on the Tennessee money line is even higher than that. It's bordering on 5-1. It's about 4.5-1 if I actually did the math on it. So continued support on the money line for both the dogs. I'm getting a wager count though favoring the favorite, but only about 1.5 times favoring Kansas City in this game. So the line did move down from 7.5 to 7 where we are right now. At even the in-house, you know, I still had a wager count favoring Kansas City at 7.5. Even at 7, of course, it's still about 3-1 favoring Kansas City. So that's where I get my wager count, balancing these off about 1.5 times when I, you know, add it all up. So I'm still getting, you know, Kansas City money, yet the number's gone down to 7 and held there. I think a number like 7.5 minus 15 is probably what's going to work for me. Maybe 7.5 flat as we get closer to game time. And, you know, we talked about before, I don't try and get too much in terms of the actual handicapping of these games and stuff like that. I do look at the numbers and stats. I do go to the on-field analysis and look at things. You have to be on top of, you know, the narrative in this game is that Tennessee won last game. The narrative in the San Francisco game is the Niners won that game. Information, again, you know, injuries and stuff like that and situational stuff. And there's just nothing really that influences this one. You know, the kind of situational spot here for Tennessee is you're talking about, you know, if my information is correct, this is like their fourth road game in a row, which, you know, you can't even find data on something like that because of, you know, how they play their regular season. It probably never happens, cases like that. But they went at Houston, at New England, at Baltimore, and here they are at Kansas City. So you're talking about a team, you know, obviously they won all three of those games as well, having beat Houston to start this off. So you're talking about a team here, Kansas City, looking to win their fourth straight road game. And you really, like I said, you can't really find data on that. But when you look at the numbers that they're putting up offensively, it's like, I mean, Tannehill against New England, I think he had 8 completions for about 70 yards. He's Baltimore, I think it was 7 completions for like almost 90 yards. And of course, Henry ran crazy on both of those games. But you know, you're still talking about a team who's passed for like around, we'll say 160 yards and thrown for, I don't know, like 300 something, you know, bordering on 400 yards in those two games. It's just like, Henry's always going to run the ball this well. Maybe is Tannehill always going to be, you know, have this low volume. I don't know. And this is a real tough spot, I think, for them. I do have sharp money on this game, not on the side, but on the total. We were at 51 and I got the over money there. So this number is sitting at 53 right now. I think there's some 52.5 out in the market, but I'm at 53, the higher number. I've got a wager count on the over. I'm saying 2-1, but it's actually a little bit higher than that.
Yeah, and you know, I think what's really interesting here about this game too is that, you know, as you said, you got to be leery of the Tennessee money line money because, again, I mean, they've pulled off back-to-back upsets here in the playoffs. Not just their fourth straight road game, but their fourth straight road game against a division winner, which at some point you've got to think that balloon kind of runs out of air a little bit. But, you know, maybe with the way they're playing, maybe that's not the way that things kind of set up here. You mentioned that, you know, you think that 7.5 is probably the number that you end up with here. Do you think that'll be because of public activity, or do you think that now that we're back to 7, or, you know, some places touching 7 for the first time, that will entice some sharp action to hit the board?
Yeah, it's kind of a wait and see. Like I said, we, you know, when we open 7.5 and go down to 7, you're really not at any risk in terms of getting middles and stuff like that. You open at, you know, 7, you touch on 7 and see what happens. I'm just kind of following the market right now. And again, these games are on Sunday. We're doing the show on Thursday. So, you know, just in case there was sharp money out there, I'm kind of going with the flow right now. I you know, there are a couple of places out there that are like 7.5 dog 20 and stuff like that. And I just didn't want to go there with the juice right like that on the 7.5 just to hold the number. So, you know, I'm going with the 7 right now. Like I said, I think I'm probably going to get, you know, have this one move up. You know, and looking honestly, I'm kind of inclined to go that way. Like I said, I don't put my opinion into how I manage the markets here and my risk management philosophy. I don't say, well, I, you know, how am I going to talk to the bosses after we get crushed and say, well, you know, I thought Tennessee was going to lose that game, and here's why I thought that. They don't care about that. They care what was the market and how do we do. But if you look at, you know, Tennessee and just everything they've done, you know, last week especially, you're talking about, you know, the game against Baltimore where Baltimore punted one time, and what, they scored like 12 points, I guess it was. I mean, it's just like they punted one time, which means they gained a ton of yards, which they did. I think it was like over 500 yards and stuff like that. So, I mean, Baltimore had success moving the ball. There were just key plays that, you know, that went against them. And obviously Henry did have a really good day. And, you know, honestly, I think Henry's probably going to have another really good day. But I think, you know, looking at the Chiefs and Mahomes and how healthy they are, how healthy everyone is, and the fact that we talked about this, that the back going back to the New England game, Tennessee still, they had I think the worst secondary going in the playoffs. They have trouble covering, and I think they're going to have a heck of a time against Mahomes. Now, the kind of thing we're going to look back on again is you have the advantage as a handicapper of looking at these games, how they were played before, because these two teams did play against each other already. And if you look at, you know, the way things went the first time around, it's a whole lot of Kansas City in terms of their favor. I mean, they outgained Tennessee by like over 200 yards, even though they lost that game. Henry had like his second best rushing day, I think, of the season. He put up like 100, almost 190 yards in that game. Yet still, Kansas City still outgained Tennessee by like over 200 yards. So, you know, Henry himself rushed for almost 190, yet they were still outgained by over 200 yards. Time of possession in that game as well was, it was like 38 to like 22 or something like that in terms of the minutes in that game, the time of possession. It's just like, it was just like really, really one-sided, yet Tennessee still got the win. So, I mean, how they've been winning these games, I, you know, all the credit in the world to them that they have been winning the games, but it just, you know, it seems like their time's going to come up. And, you know, if they win this one outright, that'll be fantastic for the book. I have no personal interest in Kansas City winning. So that would be, you know, I hope they win this game. I do have San Francisco to win the Super Bowl that I bet before the season started. So let's hope they get the job done. But, you know, I couldn't care either way in terms of who wins this game for the book. It'd probably be better if Tennessee won the game outright. But I just, you know, it's really tough to look at this in terms of numbers and on-field analysis and make a case for them, I think.
All right, so here's something I'm kind of curious about as we look ahead past Sunday, and obviously Sunday night, we'll know which two teams are going to be in Super Bowl 54. We'll reconvene again next Thursday night to talk more about the Super Bowl, but as far as putting up an opener, as far as the early process for a game like the Super Bowl where the handle is just going to be off the charts ridiculous, what does that sort of look like on Sunday on into Monday? How do you sort of start to manage your risk profile for that game?
Yeah, well, it's obviously the teams involved are going to be a huge factor in that. I mean, if you get, you know, Kansas City and San Francisco, you're talking about two teams who have like very high brand name recognition, stuff like that. If you're going against a Tennessee, throwing Tennessee in there, they're kind of, you know, well, honestly, if Tennessee gets there, they're going to be like public darlings that they have been probably for the past 3 weeks as well. So it should be all right. Again, the Super Bowl we've talked about before is kind of like the one game of the year where, you know, public money can kind of overcome the influential and sharp money in the market. There's just so much public money involved in the game. So you kind of have to keep that in mind in terms of your own customer base and your kind of risk profile for that game in terms of where do you think the public money is going to come. You know, obviously, I think in terms of like the numbers and, you know, the volume and the betting interest, I think San Francisco KC would probably be the best result for us in terms of just getting a ton of volume, but we'll have a ton of volume nonetheless.
All right, so we're going to do something special for our listeners here today because we only had the two NFL games to talk about. Obviously, we'll only have you know, the Super Bowl to talk about here after this, but next week we'll talk about sharp action we get. The following week we'll talk about additional sharp action and also some of the props that have taken on some sharp action there in the lead up to the game. But here this week, we're going to talk a little bit of UFC. We don't generally do that here on this segment, but I know you're kind of an MMA guy. I know that you had some boxing in your past as well. So I just wanted to kind of get your take with, you know, this main event here and some of the maybe sharp activity on the rest of the card. But this Donald Cerrone, Conor McGregor fight, I mean, McGregor coming off a long layoff, Cerrone, a fan favorite, that guy will die out there in the octagon if he has to. He will fight until he can't fight anymore. So a fan favorite type of guy, the kind of underdog that you love to back because you know he's going to go to bat for your money, but also McGregor, one of the best ever in the sport.
Yeah, and the thing you have to look at with Cerrone is, I mean, he's all, you know, talked about the, you know, the fireworks and the kind of fights that he's always involved in, but that also obviously takes a big, big toll on you in terms of your, you know, the ring years that you have, if you will. And so he's obviously, I think in a tough spot. the thing is, like, McGregor is, you know, I'm not going to compare him to Mayweather in terms of like the love-hate relationship that people have with him, but you can kind of, if you wanted to draw a comparison, you probably could make that, in that people want to see him lose. And there's no way, you know, that's the beauty of the sports betting industry, is that you have the right and the ability to express your opinion through your wagers. And I've got a wager count, you know, you see this number, I think it opened around, I think the lowest number they show was like around 250, and it's up to around 350 right now. So obviously there's been some influential money going in the direction of Conor McGregor, but my wager count on this one, and I've got a very solid wager count. I got a lot of volume on this fight, and it's very one-sided towards Cerrone. I've got a wager count about 3-1 that way. So that gives you an indication in terms of where the public's, you know, feeling about this fight. And again, I it's as much as liking Cerrone as it is disliking McGregor, I think. In terms of, you know, I don't have sharp money out there right now. I think in terms of the props and stuff like that is probably where you're going to find some value. McGregor by KO, TKO, DQ around there is around 210, I think it is. I think if you're going to play it, that's probably the way to go, in terms of the fact that this number's already moved from the 250 up to 350 right now. And again, we're just talking about the ring wars and the damage that Cerrone's had. I mean, his best path to victory, I think, would be getting the fight to the floor, but it's, you know, Conor McGregor's takedown defense is getting, you know, better. I think, you know, eventually you're looking at McGregor just being able to overwhelm him. I mean, he is very accurate as a striker, so I just think the minus 210 is probably, you know, the way to go. It just seems like if you're going to find value, that might be the way to go it. But McGregor, he's got such good power. He's so accurate as a puncher, as a striker. So I think it's going to be, you know, I'm going to say a bloody mess. That's just kind of like my prediction for it. I'm not, I'm by no means a Conor McGregor fan. I am a Floyd Mayweather fan. I'll say that, just because I just appreciate the art of his boxing ability. But McGregor, I mean, just, you know, as a person, just, he's kind of like he's not the kind of guy you really look to and say, hey, I like this guy. A ton of heart out of Cerrone, probably just going up a guy who's just too strong and too accurate for him, I think. So, you know, if I was going to lean anyway and say that, you know, might be value out there, I think the fact that, you know, I just don't see this one going the distance, and I do think McGregor's just going to be too much for him. So 210 seems to be like the way to go if I was going to play this.
Spoken like a sharp UFC handicapper. I mean, is this a market that you've had personal success in?
Yeah, I mean, I do look at the props and stuff like that, and kind of trying to find value. I think usually you find, you know, value in stuff like that. And again, you know, this is just case just for me with Cerrone. Like, he's been in so many wars, and again, I just think, you know, his chances are going to the floor, and I just don't see that happening. Maybe he'll get caught on the ground, and, you know, there could be a submission or something like that, in favor of McGregor. But I just think he's gonna be too strong and accurate for him. Yeah, it's just my opinion. I do watch like almost every one of these events. I do. This card is just stacked too. I mean, there's the great fights on this card. They did a really good job. If you go up and down the board from like the opening bout, you know, the odds are all between like minus 100 to maybe like minus 150, I think, is the highest one. And that's pretty much until you get, I think there's one that's around 330. The Pettis fight is, he's like a dog. The favorite there is like around 250, 255. And then the main event around 350. So, but other than that, you've got all these really close fights. The Grasso Gadella fight for the women should be a really good fight. Holly Holm and Pennington, I mean, the Gadella is at like a -15, -120 favorite right now, so that's a really close match, at least on paper. Holm is -135 right now, really close. So, I mean, the men and the women, you got really, I mean, the matchups on this card are just fantastic, and they seem to be, you know, very well evenly matched.
Well, you do have Macy Barber as a massive favorite in the -950 range. There is some sharp action on the round prop for that one. And we do have three fights here that do have some sharp action that, you know, we might as well share here with our listeners for this Friday show.
Yeah, you touched on the Macy Barber Modafferi fight. I do have sharp money on that one. That came on the over 1.5 -110. So, you know, a lot of people will say, oh, you got like a -950 favorite. The sharp money's on the over. But yeah, I mean, that's the way it is. I mean, you see that in boxing a lot too. People used to ask me, because I used to handicap boxing a lot, and they would say, you know, you've got this guy who's like, you know, a 500, 600, 700 favorite, yet, you know, the over is the favorite, like the total is like 11.5 over -210. Why is that? And while you're just talking about a guy who's maybe, you know, not the best striker, but a heck of a boxer. So in this case, I do have the Barber fight over 1.5 -110. One of the other fights I do have sharp money on is Justin Leddit. He got played at plus 130. That was against Alexa Kamur. And the other one was Maurice Green at even money. And that was Alex Olenek. That's the fight there. So I got Green at even money, Leddit plus 130, and the Barber fight over 1.5. That sharp money has come in so far in this one, Adam.
Do you have any good stories from your boxing handicapping days? Any big scores?
Big scores? No. I do. I mean, it is funny because we're in Costa Rica, and it's not quite backstreet third world country, but it's a very well developed country. But my very first amateur fight I had down here, the very first punch that was thrown at me, I was just like, I pretty much froze and boom, crack. Broke my nose right away, and the referee stops in and he says yeah, you're bleeding now, by amateur rules I'm supposed to, legally I'm supposed to stop the fight right now, and do you want to keep going? And I says, well, I said, like, to the guy, what happens if I keep going? He says, well, your nose is already broken. So, and I was like, oh, well, it's already broken. So we kept on fighting. So that was kind of funny that the first punch the guy threw. And then I go to my corner after the first round. The first thing that the guy who was training me says to me, he says, we didn't teach you any defense, did we? So that was just priceless.
That's definitely a tough spot to be in, to be sure. But what about boxing? Any big betting wins you can remember?
Oh, that I can remember. No, honestly, I haven't bet boxing seriously for, I'm going to say, over 5 years. I just kind of, I lost interest in the sport. I was really, really active betting wise when Fernando Vargas, Tito Trinidad, Oscar De La Hoya, heavyweights, when Lewis was around, Haseem Rockman, those kind of guys. I really was, very passionate and had the time for boxing around then. But I did my own opinion and I bet my own opinion. And I did, I'm going to say, I did quite well to that.
Good. We added Brent's career as a boxer to the odds report here this week on Bang the Book Radio. Brent, always a pleasure, man. Thank you so much for joining me. Appreciate you taking some time out of your day here, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, and go Niners.